committee at a late hour today at 3:45. Apologies to the other committee members. Several of us were detained in this year's committee. And today's calendar, we will take up House Bill HB 401, HB 410, and HB 373. We will not be taking up House Bill 345 today. We will calendar that or bring it up under previous one.
Monday? Yeah.
Right. I don't know if we give enough notice on Monday or not for the thing. I want to make sure everybody has a chance to be noticed on the bill. We'll pick it up either on next Monday or Wednesday. We can give adequate notification to everybody. Representative Bryce, does anybody suggest I should invite to? I'll invite.
Thank you very much.
I'll make sure we get organized labor and the
thank you.
Employees, the state employee union, all notified of it.
I would appreciate that.
And then well, I'm not so sure. I mean, Representative Ricula is here, so why don't we take up?
She's got a CS coming in.
Oh, she has.
Yes,
House Bill
no.
273 first.
The other thing that was handed out previously.
273, okay.
I'm going to have some fun today, but it seems like all the joy of life is taken on my body.
No.
I may leave this.
This is going to be the only good thing that happens today.
Which one are we on? 401?
273.
273.
Okay,
I'm not going to do this
today.
The CS?
We have.
Okay. Shall we start?
Let's reconvene the Labor Commerce Committee meeting at 3:45. For the record, present are Chairman Roker, Vice Chairman Halko, Representative Murkowski, and Bryce. We have a quorum to do business. And we will change today's calendar to reflect that we will take up House Bill 273, and I believe kind of concurrently House Bill 410, and that we'll invite Representative Cartula and Representative Bryce to kind of jointly work with the committee here. How would you like to proceed?
You tell us what to do and we'll do it.
Have a seat.
Well, Representative Dice,
can you dance?
You're the senior guy, but
can you sing?
I like to be a respectful gentleman in this committee and have ladies first. So, what are your druthers?
That's fine. And my understanding from Peter, my chief of staff that's working on this, is that a significant portion of our bill is going to be put in with Representative Curtula's in a committee substitute. At least that's the strategy that we're working on, and that's delightful to me.
Well, very good. Let's proceed with our testimony.
I guess then I'll begin. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Couch, and members of the committee. We're going to have fun with this. Because the first thing I'm going to say right up front is that I'm not a computer expert, I'm not a techie, and I want to thank Bill McCauley from Data Processing for being here today with us, and Peter Torkelson, my aide Gretchen Kaiser. Probably many of you have, I know Representative Cisna, have better computer skills than I, so I just am going to say that right up front. If there's a technical question, I'm going to turn it over to people who really understand that aspect of it. But why I introduced the bill was because I had a couple of constituents come to me and start to explain to me the ramifications of what happens when you log on to the internet and how the providers can take your information, sell it, turn it over. And that explained a couple of things to me, like why I suddenly was, you know, getting bombarded with Martha Stewart-like advertising back on my computer, since I spent a fair amount of time at that website. So My bill is, and it's been a broad interest and a lot of people had a lot of input into it, so this bill basically allows the consumer to opt into having their information sold, forwarded, used. But it's something that's a proactive thing. The consumer actually has to allow it. Rather than now, what happens, and I think we just handed out a little privacy policy that AOL has, you see in the fine print language, like, you can choose not to receive such information if you want to by letting us know on the registration screen. It's stuff like that that nobody really bothers to read or understand or know. So it's a privacy right. It's to allow people to have privacy if they choose to, and it isn't a very onerous requirement. Representative Dyson's bill, and I'll allow him to speak to that a little more, but it contains a section in it that we, if the committee so chooses to move a committee substitute today, would require not only the opt-in, where the consumer says, this is what I want to happen, it would also require the company to come back and tell you a little bit about what they're doing with the information. Here's where it's gone, here's how it happened. And they fit together pretty well that way. There are a lot of other ideas out there, and because it's such a new area, there's areas, Representative Croft has a bill in that deals with employee-employer relations. There's your own legislation that deals with spamming, but between Representative Dyson's office and mine, we felt that our two bills were so similar that they could be meshed and moved forward, or a committee substitute or a committee bill, whichever the committee would prefer, might work. That's the nuts and bolts of it. There is one suggestion I'd like to make, and it may be out of the CS already. I'm sorry, I don't know where in the CS it actually is, but there is one area that I think we're going to need to be sure we delete from it, and that is right now, the bill included an area that couldn't be disclosed, and one of the areas was the electronic mail address. So I guess even in the CS, if you adopt it, it's still in it. We're on Bill McCauley's advice. I think we need to take that out of the bill. That's your email address. That alone, like with our registries and with our state registries, things like that, probably needs to still be allowed to be disclosed. I don't think anybody really has any heartburn or high privacy right over just that. It's the other information going. So with that, I'm going to close. That's the nuts and bolts of what this bill does.
Well, we have before us a substitute. Would you prefer if we adopt this as a working document? Which makes the most sense?
Yes.
All right. Well, the chair would entertain a motion to adopt the committee substitute.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Harris.
I move that we adopt CS for House Bill 273, version LS1156/H, as a working document.
Any objections? Seeing none. So moved. At this time, Representative Dyson, would you like to chime in? Sir, welcome to the committee.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to have my staff, Peter Torkelson, explain just the portions of the committee substitute that really are lifted out of our original bill,
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Torkelson. I would say I enjoyed some of your articles in the Yankees Daily News this last year.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Peter Torkelson, staff to Representative Dyson. The portion of our bill that really fit well with Representative Cotulla's bill was the portion that said when you activate an account, you, the ISP, the Internet Service Provider, should tell the new subscriber a little bit about what you do with their information, about what type of information that you, the ISP, are holding that might be accessible to someone who's looking for information about people. And also, perhaps, as an ISP, you should tell people under what circumstances you'll be reading their email or tracking which websites they hit, or under what circumstances will you be disclosing that information to law enforcement. I mean, can they just call and say, hey, I want to read Joe's email? Or, you know, what are the procedures? So just tell us, the new subscriber, tell them what the deal is. You know, and that, in a way, would kind of inform people as to whether or not they have a reasonable expectation of privacy about this type of information. And I've been talking to some of the internet service providers, security people, and they said, yeah, that's probably a good idea. They have assured me, just for the record, that they do not release any of that information without a court order, a search warrant, for instance. Something that's been signed by a judge is the way he described it to me. So in a way, we're not really trying to force them into something they're not doing now. We just think it's fair for them to tell new subscribers that that is the case, and that they could read your email with a search warrant. It's not something that just disappears into the Netherlands of cyberspace. So that's really the portion of the bill that's in the CS, and that's probably what's worth addressing at this point.
Thank you. And I really want to express my appreciation to Representative Dyson and to Peter, because they've really worked hard on making this work together. I want to point out one thing in the bill it's a policy call, though we really tried to track existing law. And I think Assistant Attorney General Julia Koster's online to further explain this or answer questions. But on page 2 of the CS, it's lines 5 through 10. We deal with how someone could get the information from the internet service provider, and we've made a distinction between a criminal case and a civil case. And in the criminal case, you would have to have a warrant. In a civil case, and this was drafted after discussions with David Schwartz, who is really responsible for enforcing the state's consumer protection laws, and Julia can further explain this if necessary, in a civil administrative case, right now, the AG's office would go and give a written request and get the information. Now, if the internet service provider said no, they would still be forced to get a subpoena or get further action. But right now, they would still like to maintain the flexibility that they have in the other area of consumer protection. And I thought that was reasonable enough to include it in the original draft. I definitely see a difference between that and criminal prosecution. But she can explain further. I just did want to clarify that. The bill does do that. Thank you.
Any questions? This plethora of witnesses we have. Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Peter, you might remember this. I think it was about a year and a half ago, there was a case where there was a naval airman in Hawaii. There was, his superiors went to AOL and asked for the websites and his email, and they discovered he was gay, and they kicked him out. They gave him a dishonorable discharge, and he sued, and the court said, obviously that's a blatant violation of privacy. Do you remember that case and how that pertains?
Through the chair, Representative Hucker, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that particular case. There have been quite a number of cases where employees have been terminated for use of the internet through the company network, and the courts have upheld those, I believe, in every case that I'm aware of. So that's maybe speaks a little bit to that question. It's not the military.
And I think that the gist of the case in Hawaii was that, you know, his superiors were basically on a witch hunt. You know, there was, so, and I'm not, do you remember that?
Through the chair, I don't remember that, but it's certainly disturbing, and it's certainly a good example of why you should opt out of having your information. I mean, I can see a distinction there also between your own private,
right,
you know, computer hooked in versus, and this is another reason why we didn't really attempt to get a little further. I think Representative Croft's bill really deals in detail more with employee-employer, but we haven't done that in these bills, or this CS. Representative Dyson's bill originally had some, dealt with it in a criminal way. This one doesn't. This one seeks just sort of the one area we all could cooperate and agree on.
Yeah, Chair notes, I recall the case that Representative Halko brought up. I believe that it was an AOL case, and there was a cause of action, and they were found to be liable.
Well,
for the disclosure.
Good.
This is the best of my recollection. Further questions? Representative Murkowski.
I'm
sure it's in here somewhere, but when we say that you have to give affirmative consent, is it affirmative consent in writing, or how is it communicated?
I believe it's in writing through the chair, and let's see if we can find this section.
Yeah, it's
thank you. The CS has changed the numbers, pardon me. Thank you, Representative Harris. That's right.
Any questions? Representative Harris.
Just point of my own clarification. Is the intent of the CS then to couple these two bills together, Representative Dyson and Representative Petula? Both of your bills together?
Yes. And through the chair, I think neither one of us has any pride of authorship. Could go forward as Representative Dyson's or mine or as a committee bill. We just like the ideas.
The chair rules that Representative Dyson already has too many bills, and she needs all the help he can. Hearing all the good ideas this fertile mind has through this legislature, and therefore Representative Petula wins.
The decision. Depends on how you look at that, doesn't it?
Unless anybody else has any further suggestions along those lines. It's probably a very good bill. The Representative Petula, you indicated the potential need for an amendment.
Yes, and if I can ask Peter or Gretchen to point out exactly what that is. Thank you. It's page 8.
No, page 5.
Oh, pardon me. It's page 5, line 8. A, subsection I, right at the beginning, the first three letters, electronic mail address, comma, needs to be deleted. And we can have Bill explain further on that if you'd like, or...
Yeah.
Maybe appropriate.
I've been explaining it for us, Bill. Thanks.
Peter, we've got plenty of room.
What's that?
No.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Bill McCauley. I'm the Data Processing Manager for the Legislative Affairs Agency. I discussed this with Representative Petula's office, and all the information in that paragraph is private information, but the discussion of email address is going to open up a Pandora's box if we deal with it as private information. It's maintained in various directories. Technically, it's not private. So I think if you want to deal with the issue of people distributing email addresses for spamming purposes, building email addresses, that probably should be addressed somewhere else, but it's not private information.
We tantamount then to a phone number and a phone book.
Yes.
For the questions. Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it, Kevin. Any additional questions or comments on this legislation? This has a further referral to the... your bill had a further referral to the judiciary?
Yes, Mr. Chair, it does. I do think you've got maybe one representative on the... do we have other people that wanted to testify briefly?
We have Ms. Julie Costner on the teleconference.
Be Representative Gall.
Oh. Oh, I see. I'm sorry I didn't see that. Ms. Costner, did you have anything you wanted to speak to on House Bill 273?
No, I'm here basically to answer any questions if anybody has
any. And we also have Mr. Peter Gall, sir. Would you care to give us your testimony? Please identify yourself and your affiliation, if any.
He's not dialed in yet.
Oh.
Not dialed in yet.
Okay, then he had expected to be called at 3:15. Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Can we try to get a hold of him? He wants to testify.
Yeah, I have his number.
Thank you. Good. We'll do
that. Why don't
that.
We take a brief at ease?
Thank you.
Getting back to order.
To be heard.
Mr. Gall, are you with us, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Good. Welcome to the House Labor and Commerce Committee. Please identify yourself, your affiliation, and give us your testimony, sir.
Thank you very kindly. Do you have House Bill 273 before you?
We do. We have the committee substitute H, if you're familiar with that.
Yes, Thank you so much. And you're discussing House Bill 410 later on or together with this?
Well, we've actually rolled them already together in the committee substitute version H, as I take it.
I understand. Then, to save the committee time, I'll make some brief comments on both bills, and thank you very much for your indulgence. My name is Peter Gall. I'm representing today the Alaska Civil Liberties Union. I also have a personal interest in the legislation as a former member of the House and chair of the House Judiciary Committee, and as a person who uses email and internet commerce and is concerned about the privacy of electronic communication and citizens. I'd like to thank the committee very much for hearing these bills and for taking action. And I'd like to respectfully thank the sponsors, Representative Dyson and Representative Gratula, for bringing forward what I consider to be one of the most timely of all issues that the legislature has to face, that being responding to the massive changes in electronic communication and making sure that state law is adequate to manage those changes, in this case with regard to the constitutional right to privacy. Essentially, I understand that the committee has, or at least my understanding is that some of the language from Section 2 of House Bill 410 dealing with notification of internet service provider subscribers of possible use of their private information and the language in the CS or in the various versions I've seen of House Bill 273 dealing with the requirement that there be an affirmative agreement by the subscriber that their information or his or her information be used before it is used. I understand that these two sections have been combined to some extent in your committee substitute, and assuming that that is correct, I guess I'd like to gratefully thank the committee for taking that action. I think it's wonderful to see you consolidating multi-partisan views in behalf of this issue and moving it forward. And we certainly, as an organization, and many people around the state as individuals, I think would like to make clear our support for what you're doing and encourage you to continue and so forth. I guess I'll conclude by just stating that I'm not sure what your intentions are today with regard to House Bill 410, but I have come to understand that there may be a feeling that it would be appropriate to delay some of the provisions dealing with email. I'd like to go on record indicating that if that be necessary, then so be it, but that the issue of defining for people in private life and business and the workplace what their rights and responsibilities are with regard to their correspondence and email, I think is a very important issue and one which needs to be moved forward, and that the language in the bill is fairly limited, and some of the language that we've submitted for your consideration is also fairly limited, and some of these basic provisions just indicating that correspondence which would otherwise be private is equally private when it's email. Seems to be a pressing matter, and if, in your wisdom, you see any way of incorporating some of these thoughts into legislation this year, I think it would serve the people very well. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I've got more elaborate things I could say about both bills, but if I'm correct about what you're planning to do, I just wish to urge you forward and Godspeed on the issue of internet service providers, and once again suggest that if it's at all possible to consider some basic action to establish the privacy of email correspondence at least at a level of that which exists on normal paper and telephone communication. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, I'd be pleased to respond.
Representative Dyson has a question.
Yeah, thank you for your comments, Mr. Gall. My guess is that this is Representative Dyson. that the portions of our bill that haven't been rolled into the new committee substitute, that we have almost no chance of getting it through two houses by in the remaining time this session. And it'll certainly be a high priority for my office for the next session. And in the, like, in the if indeed the folks in Eagle River send me back down here next winter, then we will. My intention is to work with you guys and put together a really good one addressing those issues, and particularly the employer relationship and so on in the interim. So tell Jennifer we'll be around knocking on your door as soon as the session's over, and that if Representative Curtula and I are successful in getting this to the floor, tell Jennifer I will wear the t-shirt, the ACLU t-shirt, on the floor. And she has promised me a dinner if I will speak on the floor wearing her t-shirt.
Well, she does not allow me to speak. Mr. Chairman, and through the chair, to Representative Dyson, my thanks for your comments and personally my gratitude to you for making this effort, both on behalf of your own bill as written and the effort that you're making in this bipartisan way with Senator Curtula to get the portions of both of your work forward this session. And am I correct in assuming that it will be your goal and that of the committee to try to bring this forward to closure this year on the portions you're moving forward?
I didn't hear the question.
Just say yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, then I won't say anything further except to thank the representative for his comments. I know that the executive director of the HTLU will be very pleased to talk with him further and follow up on their prior conversation. And I understand the reluctance to move forward too promptly on 410, given the issues that are raised. However, I would like to state for the consideration of the members who might be thinking about this over the summer, that while workplace issues will come up as a large focus of conversation, because balancing the needs of employers and so forth with needs of employees is an important issue, and there are complexities like people who work at home and people who travel with computers, and those things have to be addressed. But the earlier sections of the bill, which simply make it clear that one's personal correspondence is personal even when it's email, is something which I think has a great deal of pressure on it for the public interest. And even if it's something that has to be dealt with in the subsequent session, I'd like to respectfully urge you to consider it a high priority issue insofar as it affects so many Alaskans so directly, and that the manipulation of personal information today is now backed by electronic power, which we've never seen in our lifetimes. And so the protection of privacy in the electronic world is something that's not going to become a smaller issue, but a larger one. And taking these first basic steps is something I'd like to respectfully bring before you for your thinking during the interim.
Very good. Thank you. Is, if I might, Ms. Grohl, there was submitted a letter regarding from you regarding House Bill 410. If I
yes,
might
sir,
ask,
I did.
Are those provisions not germane?
I submitted a letter of a couple of pages which makes some specific recommendations. I don't want to trouble the committee with those unless you request that I do so. I'd be happy to. I personally have an interest in the bill as it was. I think getting Section 2 moving forward is great. But I think that one, if you'll permit me, I think that one can overstate the complexity of solving the problems. For example, the issue of having employees and employers both agree on the terms of oversight is something which already exists in much of the law and could be applied here. And the basic issues of how serious a crime it should be and whether or not there should be a separate crime of using intercepted material in the commission of a crime. I mean, these are issues that are worthy of some discussion. I'd be happy to share any. I'd be honored if you care to discuss it further either now or at your convenience.
Well, But any changes or recommendations are not germane to this, how this thing turned out?
Right.
No, sir, the recommendations are not germane to section two. With regard to section two, my only suggestion was that an affirmative, the only comment that the ACLU had on this was that an affirmative statement by the subscriber should be required before any information is released about that subscriber, pure and simple. And my understanding is that Senator Petula's language addresses that, and your language addresses the notice to the subscriber, which would then trigger that response or denial. And I haven't had a chance to see your newest language, but if that is its thrust, I'd be pleased to work with you on the language specifically, and I applaud you for the intent.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Representative Worrell. Any questions of the former representative? Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. We're glad we were able to get in contact with you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It was a privilege to come before the committee. I, again, am grateful that you're taking these issues seriously. They're serious issues. I thank you and wish you a good day.
Oh, one other question. Did you happen to have a chance to look at House Bill 401?
Actually, I am not prepared with any comments for House Bill 401.
Well, I appreciate it if you take a look at it and get a hold of my office if you do have any comments.
That would be my pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye now.
Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on House Bill 273 or House Bill 410? I have a question. Do either of you, we endeavor to get a hold of some ISPs.
We did.
And do you have any that, Mr. Torkelson, you want to comment on that, or is there any of the record? One of our concerns as the Chair of the Labor and Commerce Committee is to not impede commerce, so.
Mr. Chairman, again, for the record, my name is Peter Torkelson, staff representative Dyson. I have been in contact with what I believe are the two largest service providers in Alaska, Internet Alaska and GCI, and have forwarded them both copies of our bill and requested input. I have received informal, important to emphasize, informal response from both. They indicated general support for the notice requirement. They were a little bit concerned about the portion of our bill which indicates that they should disclose the circumstances under which they can review email and website traffic on their servers. They kind of had the feeling that, well, it's, you know, it's on our property, and if we want to look at it, then, you know, I don't, you know, that's just kind of our business. Trying to be fair to them, I guess that's, I've shared it, and it's a public policy issue that I think is worthy of your consideration.
So what does this bill do in that?
Mr. Chairman, this bill says that they must notify new subscribers of the circumstances under which they will look at your email and look at your website traffic.
And Representative Dyson and Halcombe. Representative Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. When I pause, it's just because I'm thinking.
Oh.
I think that position, and I don't mean to sound pejorative, is likened to the post office saying they can open mail that's in their building, you know, and unless they know that there's, or have suspicion in a court order that there's criminal activity, off limits, in my opinion. Also, in the years I have been here, and partly under your tutelage, Mr. Chairman, I've become more cynical. And I have no knowledge that what I'm about to say is true, but I would, in other related industries, there are often is a secondary market for information that comes from somebody that's providing services. I'll be surprised, pleasantly surprised, if we don't find out further downstream that there is an economic impact to the resulting from these restrictions on access to people's electronic communication. I think that the information that is gleaned gets marketed, and our efforts here to protect people's freedom of privacy will restrict the marketing, in my view, perhaps sometimes unethical marketing, of private information. I'll be surprised as we get down the road on this bill if we don't hear about that.
Representative Hochfeld and Bryce.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think what Peter just said was that they feel that it's on their property, so they should have free will to look at it. I think highlights the need for not only information being supplied to consumers when they sign up as far as when they can look at it, but I think we should put in here that they can't look at it. You've got to have some... I mean, if you say an internet service provider, I mean, that's just not some faceless organization. I mean, those are employees that can look in your email, and if something ever happened, what's the argument? They're just going to say, hey, it's on our property, we can look at it? I mean, you've got, these are people that can look at your email, not just some faceless.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, Representative Hucko, I hate to speak for someone else, that they have indicated that the times that this occurs, it's generally to try and protect their network. There have been highly publicized occurrences of, for instance, Internet Alaska's homepage being replaced with a fraudulent page to try and defraud people. And they, for obvious reasons, that is a direct threat to their business. I mean, the very heart of their business. And so they pursue, to protect the integrity of their network, they pursue, that type of stuff with vigor. And I think they would say, in all fairness, that the only times they get into this stuff is when they are reacting to a direct threat to their actual network, and that they have indicated they have a pretty rigorous review process before they're allowed to put what's called a sniffer on your account, where it just records where you're going. And they do not save email from the past. They only collect email forward from a particular date, and it's signed by an administrator. It goes through an internal review process. So there is some protection for reasons that if the word got out, they were looking, it's bad for business. So they do have some protections. I believe they're acting certainly in good faith, and they certainly have indicated to me that they respect people's privacy. So I would want to put that on the record for their behalf.
I believe Representative Cartula on that point, Representative Bryce.
I think that maybe Mr. McCauley had something to add on it. Am I right, or Bill? No.
Mr. Prosser.
Yes. excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. Mr. Chairman, I perfectly agree with, thank you, what Peter said, and it's not exactly analogous to a post office situation. An ISP, and I get a sense we're talking only about commercial ISPs, but what about the Legislative Affairs, which has its email system and web services, Department of Administration, any organization that has these? When you have problems, you have tools to go in and investigate the problems. You have problems with the network. These tools allow you to see this information. So it's necessary tools. So it's not quite analogous to a post office. I certainly agree there's a privacy problem there. But when these people have to resolve problems, they have to have these tools that allow them to see this information.
Mr. McCauley, doesn't the Legislative Affairs Agency and your IT group monitor all the traffic on our server and our program?
Mr. Chairman, yes. We have the ability to. It's not anything that we do constantly, but if we have a problem, yes, we go out and see what's happening.
And the members that use it have been informed of that. We have a privacy agreement, do we not, or an agreement of use? How is that?
Yes, we do have a policy that every employee signs.
Which puts them on notice that you are eavesdropping, basically.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're not really eavesdropping. We only look when there's a problem.
But if there's certain traffic patterns, can you discern them and then you would look into it?
Absolutely.
Representative Bryce, you had a question.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I think it relates back to the statement that Representative Dyson had made, which was relating to the economic impacts of this bill and the potential to dampen the use of this information for marketing and whatnot. I would not be so quick to say that it's going to have a tremendous impact on the secondary market sell of this information. Telemarketing has procedures by which you can remove your name from people's calling list. And I mean, more or less, that's what we're doing here, is we're setting up a system by which people can say to their, provider that, no, I don't want to be on those marketing lists. So I don't think that it'll have that much of a negative impact down the road.
Mr. Ferguson.
On that point, Mr. Chairman, I'm assured by Internet Alaska that they do not resell people's information in any form.
Okay. Have you checked with DoubleClick currently?
No, Mr. Chairman.
I represent Cartier.
Just real quickly, there's a bill going through on driver's license registrations to allow you to remove from their list, and it's got a negative $200,000 fiscal note. So what Representative Dyson's talking about in some arenas has had an impact, but if Internet Alaska isn't doing it, it shouldn't have any.
Mr. Ferguson or Mr. McCauley, either one, in terms of their technical expertise, I am concerned that the monitoring of traffic is undertaken by ISPs, particularly for the denial of service attack situations that we experienced about a month or so ago, and it's one of the reasons we have a bill that I introduced today, when a ISP or a system can be attacked on even a worldwide basis. When Yahoo was put out of business for 4 or 5 hours. So it's my understanding, though, that when those types of situations occur, that the need to defend yourself is as a system and the integrity of the whole World Wide Web, it requires a certain amount of monitoring as well as other more sophisticated programs for defense and so forth. But part of that is monitoring the traffic. So isn't that done? Mr. McCauley, you want to speak to denial of service and security and things like that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Security is a huge problem. we're all aware of hackers and their way of finding ways into systems and using them for their own personal purposes. About a year ago, we were hacked into. Security is an issue that we have to address more than we have already. I'm not sure where you're leading.
Oh, well. I mean, does anybody here have any expertise as far as the level of monitoring that has to go on for security purposes? I mean, even telephony or telephone traffic, the monitor of those lines in the conversations do occur. And it's for maintenance of the channels of communications, and there's any number of reasons.
Mr. Chairman, I am out of my league here, technically speaking, but I did have the specific question for the security officer at Internet Alaska. He indicated to me that they do not sniff when they monitor traffic, they cannot tell whose traffic they're monitoring. They monitor general traffic, but they don't know where the requests are going. That's the sniffing difference that requires, for lack of a better word, the authorization of the supervisor. They'll just go through and pick up random, just traffic. They don't know whose it is or what it's doing when that occurs, and that is actually, as terms of the volume of all traffic, a very small portion of all traffic. There's just too much.
You can track down traffic. Like if you have a denial of service attack, you try to track it back. So therefore, you're focusing a little narrower on the system.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a situation that occurred, I guess, this last month, where I was hoping that I could be tracked, that my system could be tracked. I clicked into a site, and I can't remember the specifics, but it transferred me to an obscene site and took over my computer, would not allow, I could not close down my computer, I couldn't do anything, and so I finally hit the electricity and called you guys and said, help, there's something very, very wrong here, because, that is I mean, your computer being taken over is really kind of a frightening thing. But I guess it wasn't possible to track backwards. At least I never heard that anybody could do it. But, you know, I mean, I can imagine a situation where you really would need to be able to do that, because you can be. It's a form of violation, really.
Okay, let's talk about cookies.
Oh,
who wants
cookies
to do cookies?
My bill doesn't. Our bill doesn't have anything to do with cookies.
Oh, doesn't it?
No, doesn't. No.
Well, explain to me how it doesn't have anything to do with cookies.
He's talking about Friday night.
You go ahead,
Mr. Chairman. This bill addresses ISPs, the people who provide the post office. The cookies are being sent to you by the vendors that you. Whose sites you go to. So when you hit Yahoo and they send you a cookie, the ISP is not
they can't control
doing
anything.
But even though it goes through the ISP server and so forth,
right.
Just they're not responsible for what's going on with the double clicks of the world and
right.
As Mr. Chairman, I believe your spam bill doesn't hold the ISPs, you know, responsible for the actual spam.
Right. Well, I'm concerned about that because
yeah.
cookies
yeah.
are sometimes there's good cookies and there's bad cookies. It has nothing to do with calories.
And you're not talking Friday night.
No. So I'm concerned here. One of my concerns is we don't want to inhibit.
No idea what.
Electronic commerce is. Our electronic commerce.
Mistakes.
That's a hacker. You don't know what a cookie is?
Well, yes. Usually on a plate with a glass of milk. I don't think that's what we're talking about.
Peter, you want to tell Representative Hacker what a cookie is?
Mr. Chairman, Bill actually probably knows better than I do. I was just studying them, and I'll try and do the best I can. A cookie is a small amount of information that is sent to your computer and stored on your hard drive that is generally assigned some type of, often a unique identifying number, saying you are customer number, big long number. Next time you come to the site, the site you're going to, Yahoo or whoever, will recognize that, hey, this is customer number so-and-so, and for instance, you know, they, last time they were here, they went to sites about baseball. And all of a sudden you see ads that have to do with baseball products on your screen. Well, there's a reason for that. Also, if you log in for perhaps Yahoo Finance, one of the most popular sites on the net, when you log in, it says, remember who I am. You check a little box. Yes, remember who I am. It implants a cookie, and next time you come back, it says, welcome, Peter Torkelson. Here are your stocks. Right there. You don't have to type anything in. That's the operation of a cookie in shorthand.
So what is the definition of a bad cookie?
One that's implanted, you don't know about it, and it's getting information from your hard drive, and you're not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Rips and dice.
Yeah, I didn't know the technical term, but I actually had that. I'm a history nut, and my daughters have really got me interested in the whole women's movement. And anyways, I was doing some research. Time I ever got back on the internet, that's what popped up, you know, and it must have done this exact thing.
You planted a cookie in your hard drive.
Yeah, and it gave me an immense amount of problems explaining this to my wife. and finally, I got Peter or Wes to go chase that dig down and kill it. But
no, I mean, it is a problem, and there's a significant amount of discussion in the new economy world about the ethics and ability of privacy and how this type of information should be handled. Matter of fact, does anybody, Peter, you know, can you explain to the community the double-click controversy? Or?
Mr. Chairman, I should note that cookies are also very convenient. At Amazon and things, one-click ordering. You click once, your order goes to your address.
Right.
It's handy.
There's good cookies.
Yes, there are. And the internet providers or website providers would be the first to tell you that, the ones that use them honestly. DoubleClick chose to build a system where cookies that were set on your machine recorded the types of sites you went to, and then reported back to them, unknowns to you. That's really the rub. Because Yahoo, you say, yeah, you know, I want my stock information. But DoubleClick had it set up so that while you're just surfing at different intervals, I don't really understand that, you would transmit data to them, saying, you know, this is so-and-so, and I'm back looking at baseball cards again. And DoubleClick had a computer saying, oh, yeah, Bob's looking at baseball cards again. You know, send him more baseball ads. And they could, over time, build up, as you can imagine, a very large and very, very valuable database.
And Dossier, even on yourself individually. DoubleClick is one of the, probably the largest advertiser on the World Wide Web and traffic manager for advertising purposes. They're a very successful company, but they are getting in a little trouble even with the market right now because of these types of policies, right, about what should be the proper level of information and who controls that information be. Because, yeah, the amazing thing is that about the unsuspected cookies, it'll build a profile, and those ads are for you. They're designed just for you and your habit patterns and what sites you visit on the web. It's quite incredible.
Mr. Chairman, back to my earlier remark, that's why I think the efforts we're making here to protect privacy and so on and so forth will have an impact on a secondary market of the selling of the data ultimately out there, because we will restrict people's ability to build a profile on you and your shopping habits and your interests. I think we'll hear about that.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, though. Are we, in essence here, it's good if we can consent to have a good cookie. We know it's there. But if there's, it's non-consensual, and you know, is that good or bad? Should we remove that? Now, is there an obligation on part of the ISP to police that? And that's which causes a significant burden on them to conduct their business in your service. That's what I'm concerned about. Representative Cartula.
I've kind of held back on mentioning this, but I think that one of the major problems we'd run into would be interstate commerce. And I think that it's probably something that's going to be left to Congress to control. I'm not sure of that. We haven't dealt with it. We early on decided to focus on something in-state, limited impact, and stake out something that we really can understand and begin with, and go that route. I mean, I share the same concerns. And I know when I first spoke to you this session, I talked about cookies. So I had wanted to go that route, but it's a little larger. So I'd like to work on that during the interim, frankly, so I can understand it better and see whether there is something we can do on a state level.
But you're comfortable enough that we're not, this legislation is not going to be intrusive in that those areas are
right.
Burdens or such.
Through the chair, Mr. Chair, we had the AG's office look at it. I think that's in your packet, and they're comfortable. I always thought that it was limited enough, but they do as well.
That scares me. After the AG looked at the governor's bill and for Annie Carpenter, technical support, representative system.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, it would seem to me that Alaskans are I think, waking up to some of the privacy issues in the internet. Maybe, hopefully, some privacy issues just in general, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And personally, I think one of the businesses that I would like to be helping to promote in Alaska are local ISP providers. And this would be one of those things that if, in fact, we have laws in the state of Alaska, and there's lots of providers outside of the state of Alaska, it'd be really nice to be able to promote Alaskan providers as being really secure. That'd be kind of a plus, buy Alaska kind of thing.
Well, we're just adding to their cost by passing this bill.
Thank you, Mr.
But not too much, though. Is that correct, Reverend Dyson? We're not overburdening these ISPs, so it inhibits commerce?
Well, that's what we understand that they have told us informally.
The committee tried to contact AlaskaNet, too, and we have not given any return back, so I'm a little disappointed there, but I'm glad that you've had some communication with them. I would ask that the bill sponsors continue talking to statewide ISPs to get some feedback on as this bill moves along. Any further questions or discussions on this bill before?
Yeah, next time they come back, they should bring some cookies.
More cookies.
Good cookies, not bad.
Okay, what's the will of the committee here?
This committee.
Representative Murkowski.
I've got one.
Right, we do have to, before we take any action here, there's a, Representative Murkowski is going to have a conceptual amendment number one.
Conceptual amendment number one.
To remove the electronic mail.
Would be on page 5, line 8, remove electronic mail address.
Any objections to conceptual amendment number one? Seeing none, so ordered. Is there any other amendments to the bill? Representative Cartula, does that take care of all the?
Takes care of it.
Good. Then, Representative Murkowski.
I would move that we move CS for House Bill number 273 from committee with zero fiscal note, I'm assuming. How do we handle the fiscal note if there's, well, wait. Okay, we just take the fiscal note from 273 with the attached zero fiscal note.
The 273 fiscal note, is that correct? Motion?
Yes.
With individual recommendations. So ordered, are there any objections?
Thank you.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Take a very brief idea.
Very easy.
I introduce this to cover two areas of import. Number one, the area of denial of service attacks. It was the country the World Wide Web experienced just about a month ago, where several major portals, internet providers such as Yahoo, the NASDAQ stock quotes, and Schwab, and various other internet firms were literally shut down by what's called denial of service attack that was the result of instantaneous mass communications of information that's so heavy that it clogs up the servers and systems and renders the systems inoperable. It's called a denial of service attack. And it can come from various different locations and stop that. And this bill takes those on and criminalizes that activity. The thought is, when I looked at this, I said, well, why do we need to do this? I mean, there is federal statutes because of interstate commerce to protect these type of things. But point in fact, we have to remember Alaska is a large state. We have our own systems, and we have our own ISPs up here and portals and so forth. So we can even act, I think, somewhat independently of the rest of the country in terms of our own intrastate info bond. Therefore, we could have circumstances where we had an intrastate denial service attack or some other interruptions in our course of communications. And therefore, I wanted to make sure that we had a criminal prohibition to that. And the other item is the spamming. Spamming is receiving multiple faxes or emails and everything else. And we want to prohibit that type of thing. And with me here to explain this via a little more detail is Ms. Seitz, the committee aide.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Janet Seitz, and I am the committee aide for the House Labor and Commerce Committee, and also staff to the prime sponsor, Representative Roepberg. As Representative Roepberg said, this legislation does make activity of the dial of service attacks criminal mischief in the first degree, which is a Class B felony. and it outlaws interrupting public utility services, and that's why on page 2 we changed the definition of utility to reflect that a communication services such as the internet and its ancillary services and the providers are considered a utility for this section of law. The spamming section starts with section 4, and it basically provides that an ISP policy is to be obeyed or followed. If I get service from a certain ISP, I should know about their policy about multiple recipients of emails and all of this. And what this says is if you violate the policy, you get a warning. If it's the second time, they can kick you off, or they can, if they can't get you to stop, they can take other action. The bill describes that nothing in the bill forces the ISP to adopt the policy. It's their decision. If they don't have a policy, that's their problem. They are considered to have published a policy if they make it available in a written form at no charge or displays the policy on an online notice. I'm sure all of you have looked at your ISPs, and there's a little space there will say privacy notice or policy notice, and you can click, and that would be considered published for this bill. Then there is a definition section that covers the various definitions for this legislation. We have one amendment here, and Mr. McCauley suggested that on page 3, lines 25 to 27, this he feels does not cover governments, like local government, state government, because they have their own electronic mail service. Is that correct, Bill?
That's correct.
Well, should it?
That's a policy decision for you all. I think Mr. McCauley would suggest that you should.
So we need to amend the electronic mail service provider or provider to include a governmental body also?
Governmental entity, business or organization, I would suggest as a conceptual amendment. Drafters may have.
Well, are there any questions on the bill first before we get into that?
Do we need to adopt the CS?
Yes, let's adopt the CS.
I'll move that we adopt CS for House Bill number 401, version G.
Any objections? If none, so ordered. We have the G version before us, and any questions on the bill? Everybody understand the bill. Representative McCaskill.
Just a question on the definition of communication services. I understand it includes internet service providers, but what would the ancillary services to the internet be? What are we including within that umbrella?
There was some discussion, Mr. Chairman, that we might have inadvertently left out something that we all don't understand, and I am not a great technical person on this either. And to cover that incidence, they used in ancillary services. And
do you know what that might cover?
Well, this is ISPs and the internet and its ancillary services, right? Fair question, but I think it was a catch-all thing. I mean, goodness, what is the internet?
I asked the question, what else could it be?
That's a reasonable question, but it begs a reasonable answer. I'm not sure we can provide that.
Yeah, stop being unreasonable.
Not being unreasonable.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that it was added to cover WANs and LANs and to make it clear, and that's local area networks and wide area networks, to make it clear that those were part of the internet, if anybody ever asked. That's the thing that comes to my mind off the top of my head.
What's the physical scope of the internet, as well as what it means in terms of its... Because what we're doing here in terms of utilities, talking about
the channel of communication, basically.
So it couldn't include somebody who comes over and fixes your internet service, you know, your help it man, your help desk guy, service that he's providing.
What we're talking about is interrupting it. We're disturbing the service.
So, okay, it's got to be something that's...
That's the...
Online, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, if you come up with any good answers, let me know.
Janet, what the Section 2, is this a generic utility definition that we're fixing here? Or?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, right.
It's already in the current statute under that section.
Whether we want to leave ancillary services in there?
I guess my concern and the reason for my question is that it might include something that you didn't intend to include.
Right.
I understand the purpose is to make sure you haven't forgotten anything, but is it more dangerous to forget mm-hmm. something or to include something? I don't know.
Well, I think the site's answer in terms of the lands and those things are connected to it in whatever type of a system. Right now everything changes so fast in the internet world that it's hard to keep up with it. Do you have any suggestions on there or any thoughts?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just started looking at this afternoon, but when you're talking communications, that's telephone, television, radio, internet, I don't know if that's what you intend to include, but those are communications utilities.
Right, but that's the idea here. We wanted to amend that to make sure that the internet and the ISPs were included as communication services for the purposes of the criminal statute. Yeah, that's all.
So you'd include lambs, and then right around the holiday season you'd have to include yams.
Depends what they call them this year.
It's getting late, Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
thank God it's Friday.
Well, I don't. Any further comments on ancillary services? We'd certainly have it on the record that.
That we.
Ancillary services.
We want
anything. Anything, right.
I certainly don't have an opinion on it. I just have.
Any further questions on the bill? We do have a suggestion for an amendment to add government entity on line 25 of page 3, after business, comma, government entity. Would that work right there?
Or government.
As long as the drafter agrees.
I'll move a conceptual amendment, number 1, to add government entity on line 3, line 25, after business of page 3. So any objections to conceptual amendment number 1? Seeing none, so ordered. Anything else?
Mr. Chairman, you have a typed amendment.
I have it.
On page 2, line 24.
A typed amendment. Was it distributed or in the
file? Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. The way the bill reads right now on line 24 and line 30, the user would have to have been previously sent an unsolicited advertisement to 25 or more people and previously been warned, so that would have to do both of those. Would have to do both of those things, and the suggested amendment inserts or instead of and.
Do one and the other, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll offer amendment number 2. My name's on it. Any other objection? Amendment number two, Surveyor's Town Amendment number two. You're doing great. Amendment number two is adopted. We have about 5 minutes to get the final drawing down there. Any further questions on this bill? Very outstanding. Everybody thinks this is a wonderful bill.
So you can object to the scam portion, because...
Have you been victimized by spam?
No, I haven't. It's an issue that a friend of mine has taken up at the federal level, so...
Really? Who's that? Your dad.
Somebody I know.
Precise, yes, right. Didn't we do some plagiarizing for Senator Murkowski's anti-spam bill on this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, but we acknowledged it in our packets with a copy of Senator Murkowski's federal legislation.
Oh, that's good.
Just to relate a quick story, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bryce.
I went to...
Tommy, tell us a story.
Let me tell you how it was in the good old days.
Oh, jeez.
Some friends of mine came up to me one day and they says, "You're a state legislator, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you know that so-and-so Senator Murkowski from Alaska?" "Oh, yeah, I know who he is. Yeah, he's spamming me." And it was like, "Hey, whoa, that's beyond me. You know, you have to call him and tell him about it." This was back in the early days before it was a bad thing, Representative Murkowski.
And then he fixed it, right?
He fixed it. He responded.
It was probably because of those constituents.
Responsive man.
And you should have responded that spam is a healthy food. Part of the...
Spiced food. Right.
Those of us from Spinard.
Yeah, this is the Doug Hager Memorial, Mr. Weike's bill. Things are deteriorating rapidly.
It's got to be close to 5 o'clock hour. We can move this thing and move ourselves.
Somebody would try to make a motion.
Yes.
Representative Hargrove.
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for House Bill number 401 as amended from committee with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal note.
Are there any objections to that?
Mr. Chairman, three indeterminate fiscal notes.
Three indeterminate.
Get it right now, girl.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Get it right or pay the price.
You're going to eat that spam.
Yeah, that's right. I'm so caught up in the yam thing.
Would you mind restating your motion for the record?
Mr. Chair, I move CS for House Bill number 401 as amended with individual recommendations in the attached three indeterminate fiscal notes.
Move me on the wrong side.
Any objections? Seeing none? So ordered. And with that, the House Bill Recovery Committee on this Friday.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Don't forget to sign the...